Good to see you this morning. I'm thankful that you're here, especially good to see visitors. It's encouraging to have you here. If you have any questions or anyone here has any questions of anything that is done during the worship service, anything that is taught during this lesson, please see me or one of the brethren here. We would love the opportunity to talk to you about that. This morning, I want us to consider how we are to make the Bible a priority in our life. It's so important that we do that. As Todd led us in prayer earlier, that we put God first, and a part of that is listening to His Word. You know, on one hand, there are a few things more important than a regular intake of the Bible into our lives. But on the other hand, many people simply are not reading or listening to the Word of God as a part of their daily lives. Jesus, our Savior, Himself said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. As is important for our physical bodies to intake food, to keep it nourished, to strengthen it, it is important for our spiritual being, our well-being, our soul salvation, to take in God's Word, the words that are directly from the mouth of God that are inspired. It has been said that the Bible is the Alpha and Omega of knowledge. I like that statement. It's the beginning and the end of our knowledge. Our knowledge of the Word of God, I put above any other knowledge that we can attain in our life. And I want us to consider this morning the importance of the Bible and how we need to make it a priority in our lives. And I think a passage that says, in a matter of a few sentences, why the Bible is important is in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. Paul is writing to Timothy, and at the beginning of 2 Timothy chapter 3, he tells him that in the last days, and they were living in the last days, and you and I are living in the last days, the days of the new covenant after the death, resurrection of Christ. He says perilous times are coming. And he gives some details of the type of things that are going on. And it's serious things, evil things. Things that are almost unspeakable will be going on. And Paul is telling Timothy, and he's telling us as well, how we continue in such times during these last days. And he warns Timothy and us that in verse 12 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, yes, all that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's coming. And it says that evil men and imposters in verse 13 grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And in light of that, Paul in verse 14 beginning says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Let's think about this. How we are to live in the last days with so much evil that goes on around us in this world. He first brings to mind to Timothy that which he had learned and been assured of, and to know where it came from is from God. And he mentions, you were taught this from your childhood, and what a blessing that is when your parents teach you the Scripture, the Word of God. If you look back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul said to him there, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." He had a grandmother and he had a mother that taught him the Holy Scripture since his youth. And to see the value of that is so important. When I think about this passage that's on the overhead, 2 Timothy 3 verses 14 through 17, I think how that we need to master this passage. We need to know it inside and out. We need to master it. It says so much in just a few sentences. But we need to also allow it to master us in our life, and I mean submit to it, that we obey it, that we heed it. Paul says, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of in verse 14. Don't come up with anything new. To advance, we go back. We go back to the Bible time and time again. Keep going back to the Bible. Don't invent anything new. Don't add to the Word of God. We will be accursed if we do that. There was a gospel preacher that had put on his tombstone these words, and I admire them. He made no new addition to the Word of God. He was a gospel preacher for years. That's what he wanted on his marker, and that's what was put on his marker. Paul tells Timothy, don't invent anything new. Do not invent any new theology. We don't need that. It gives false hope. Keep going back to the Bible. Brother Gordon read to us from Jeremiah chapter 6. Did you notice in verse 16, ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. The Bible is still as relevant today as it was when the ink was still wet on the parchment paper. God's Word is relevant for us, and we need to go back to Scripture, and we need to heed it, not try to discover some new truth, but learning more about the truth that's been recorded long ago. Paul said about these writings, these sacred writings, will be able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It reminds me of something that he recorded in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17 that says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God can produce faith in us if we allow it. If we open our book, if we open our heart to it, it will help us to grow in the faith. Rosera Butterfield wrote a book, and it's called Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. And she wrote that she had made up her mind early on that she would never, ever become a Christian. She completely was opposed to the Christian faith. She was, in fact, militant against it. But she was getting to know a gospel preacher, and she wanted to be able to put him in his place. So she wanted to get familiar with the Bible, and she began to read it. But she said, I approached the Word of God, the Bible, I approached the Bible with an agenda to tear it down. And she said, what happened to me in time was surprising, that it got inside of her head and completely upended her. She said, I started in this book, she states, that I started to see the Bible as the table of contents for my life. And I started to see how my pride, which manifested itself in my lesbianism, separated me from the holy God who made me and promised to take care of me. God made me to see myself in the context of His love, His design, His authority, His sovereignty, His salvation, and His holiness. I saw that in my pride, I was persecuting Jesus Himself, the one and only source of atoning love. God, through His Word, the Bible, changed my whole life. It's powerful. It's living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide the joint from the marrow. It's able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, the Bible itself tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul says that it is able to make us wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There is no genuine spirituality apart from the Word of God. We need this revelation. It is necessary for us. Why is the Bible so important? Well, I think we see here in our text why it's important. A couple of things that are mentioned is the source of it. The source of the Bible is not man. Yes, and we talk about who wrote this book and who wrote that book. But these men, we see, were guided by the Holy Spirit. They were able to write down the words of God, which was given to them by the Holy Spirit. It's God inspired. All Scripture, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration means to be breathed out. When you speak words, they come out of your mouth. These are from the mouth of God, these words in Scripture. When I'm talking to you, 101, they're Steve-breathed words. These, though, in the Bible, all Scripture is out of the mouth of God. And Paul says when it comes to the Bible, the words that we have in it, the source of it, is our Creator, is God. How valuable that is. How important it is that we study it, that we know it, that we adhere to it, that we teach it to others. The Bible is so important because of where it came from. There's no other book like it. It is the book of books. But the second thing mentioned here is we see what it's profitable for, and there's no more beneficial book anywhere than the Bible. It will benefit us greatly. Four things are mentioned here. That it's profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, that is principles taught in the Word of God, the truth, the Word of God. It's profitable for teaching. That's what we need to be teaching. When we come together here, the Word of God is what needs to be taught, nothing else, not put in with our opinions and words from men, per se. But the main thing is, the Word of God. The Word of God. It's profitable for reproof. Now, reproof is really a declaration of what is wrong. Reproof. Correction is a declaration of what is right. This is the right path to take. And instruction in righteousness. That's what pleases God. That instruction from God. This is what the Bible is useful for. We need to live it. We need to rightly divide it. We need to study it. We need the Word of God as a part of our daily life. What tool does God use to help us to think rightly and to act rightly? What tool does God use for equipping us and bringing us to maturity and completeness? Well, the answer is clear here. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it's the Bible. We need it to grow spiritually. And we're really without excuse. You know, there are so many ways. It's so accessible today. You can read it on your phone. You can listen to it read through your phone and other devices. We have the Bible. It's accessible. We need to continue in it, as Paul says here. It will help us in the last days to survive and to be saved. It will bring us to maturity. We need the Word of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. We don't need any other revelation. We need God's Word, and it's complete. There's nothing else like it. Eye has not seen anything like it or ear heard anything like it. And Paul writes that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We need the Word of God. It is profitable for us. We cannot afford to try to go through this life without the Word of God. We all need it. God has revealed it to us in a way that we could understand it. It's not above our thinking. We know his thinking is above ours. Isaiah talks about that God's thoughts, his ways are far above ours, as far as the heavens are above the earth. But he has written it, had it written in a way that we can understand it, we can comprehend it. But it's not automatically just going to flow upon us. We have to roll up our sleeves and we have to study the Word of God and see the value of it. I was reading an article this past week about a woman whose schedule is just so busy. She is a single mother and she has full custody of the children, and her days are just filled and nights are filled. But she wrote about that her water heater broke and flooded part of the house. And she had to stop to take care of that because it took priority over anything else to try to get that fixed and taken care of. And I was thinking, we need to treat the Word of God like a broken water heater. We need to make it a priority in our life. And then, as we have time for the less significant, less important things in our life, do those as well. The Word of God is crucial. I hope we all see the value of it. What will reading it daily do for us? It will help increase our faith, as I've already mentioned. It honors God when we do that. We care about what God has to say. We want to know what he has to say. We want to know what his will is. Number three, it helps us to triumph over sin. Jesus, every time he was tempted, that we read of in Matthew 4, and Luke 4, he went to Scripture. He went to the book of Deuteronomy. It helps us to overcome sin. Number four, it helps us to conform to Christ. How do we know what Christ looks like apart from the Word of God? Number five, it helps us in sharing the gospel. We're to go to teach the Word of God. How can we do that if we don't know it ourselves? Daily reading will help us be prepared to do that. It will complete us. It will equip us. Number six, it helps us through difficult times. These are words of comfort. Jesus resurrected from the dead, so we'll have a living hope. We studied in Bible class there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It will help us through the difficult times like nothing else can. And number seven, it will bring about God's blessings. God means what it says, and his word always comes true. We can't say that about anybody else's word. So at the end of the day, there is simply no replacement for including a regular time and place, blocking out distractions, putting your nose to the text, and opening your heart and mind to be led, to be educated by God himself, communicating to us through his written Word. That's the way that he communicates to us. Because the Bible source is God, and because of what it does in our life, we need to make it a priority. Whoever wrote Psalm 119, and it may have been David, but we're not told. Pretty good possibility it was. But in verse 9, we see he had a love for the Word of God. He asked the question, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. That's how we can cleanse our way. In verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It is the best protection against temptation and overcoming temptation, the temptation to sin. There in the Word of God, He instructs us how to be saved. Book, chapter, and verse. For hearing it, believing it, repenting of our sins, confessing with our mouth that Christ is our Savior, the Son of God, and be baptized, immersed into water, having our sins washed away. Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 that now saves us. And be faithful, and we will have a home in heaven with God. If you're not a child of God this morning, think about what God says you need to do. And why not do it today? There's no better day than today. If you're not a child of God, why don't you become one? Why don't you come forward as together we stand and sing?